Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Ombudson.
And today, we are talking about Season 6, Episode 4, The Amazing Psych Man and Tap Man, Issue 2. I love this episode. I completely forgot how much I loved this episode. It is so cool. I cannot wait for you all to listen. Written by Saladin K. Patterson, directed by Mel Damsky. And let me say, they both wrote and directed the shit out of it. Such a fun episode. Please enjoy. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Maggie. I was just about to say, hi, Maggie.
How are you? You look great.
It's been, thanks. I'm not feeling like I look great, but, feel a little disheveled-y. I am doing my
look what I just did to my hair. I'm the disheveled one.
I'm doing my cold rainy LA day Devil Pendleton.
I love the sweater. I love the sweater and the shirt. I love the combo. I think it looks great. You look great.
Thank you, my friend.
Yes, thank you.
You look great.
I wish I felt great.
Ian, who really looks great, is Linus looks great.
Linus looks amazing.
Hi, nephew Linus. I love you.
We've both had quite a week. We really have. Oh, I'm getting kisses. Those are kisses. That Let's dive in because I don't know how long I'll last. You guys, we're so excited. Well, first off, all the psychos and everybody who came out in Atlanta, thank you so much. We had such a good time.
Prior to that.
Oh, and San Francisco. If we haven't, I guess we haven't because we went back to back. Man, like, how fun is it, Tim? Like, that we get to be, on stage talking about this show, like right there, just like feet away from like all the psychos.
The energy has just been incredible and really, it's no lie that I think it's no big secret that you and I are pretty exhausted by the time we got to the podcast in Atlanta.
We were.
That evening.
It was a big day. We had a big day that day.
Having done the panel and the day full of like, you know, all the things you do at conventions, the meeting the nice people and chatting with people while signing autographs and taking photos, which is incredibly how stupidly blessed we are that we get to do this.
So but then
the podcast came around, my eyes were starting to cross. I was getting so tired.
Oh, really? I mean, I know we were both really tired, but I think it came off great. It's, you know, what's so nice is like we get tired, but then the second you walk in that room and see all those faces, like it just sort of like reinfuses us with energy. That was a big day. That was a big day for them too. A lot of those people were literally at that convention all day long.
Then I've realized flying in the night before and then eating heavily that night.
You did. I made the smart choice not to do that.
You made such the smart move.
Yes.
And I didn't sleep anything Friday night. So Saturday was off, which I'm not making mistake again for Seattle and right next shows.
Yeah.
Well, on my beard, it's gone very Hemingway.
Looks great.
It's a little pushy today.
You're very monochromatic today. You're like gray with the gray, the hair, the beard, and the sweaters. It's like I love this look. It looks like a set. Like if you went to a store and you said, hey, I want to get a set instead of like separates, this would be the set. It'd be like a suit.
Well, I did buy them together. And the sweater is actually oceanized blue.
Oh, it's blue. Oh, I can see the blue now.
Starting to fade though.
Which I noticed in this episode quite a bit. And I was like, Tim had a lot to say about his wardrobe in this episode.
Oh, it's professional notes. Hey, Maggie, speaking of this episode, are you ready to help me podcast the shit out of it?
Yes, I'm ready. So is Linus. Linus, are you ready to podcast the shit out of it?
Yeah, me too.
That was a big yes. Oh, I got kisses. I get kisses. See, so that's a yes. Okay. All right. He's so sweet.
Wait, did Linus suddenly just had an Italian accent? It's like, yes, I help you podcast on the show.
Yes, I guess. Oh my God, that's so cute. Did you hear him? All right. So Season 6, Episode 4, The Amazing Psych Man and Tap Man, Issue Number 2, written by Saladin K. Patterson, directed by, can I just say, Saladin wrote the shit out of this episode and Mel directed the shit out of this episode.
Actually, you know, we got to go to Mel.
I mean, this was insane. And I like, why is this? See, this is what's so crazy about going back and watching, like doing the rewatch part of this is like, I almost forget. I don't have a ton of memories except for the shootout. Like, I don't have a ton of memories from this episode. Hang on, I'm going to put him down really quick.
Well, because I text you prior to me watching, I'm about to rewatch and I have like zero memory of this episode. Hopefully, as I'm watching it, they'll come back. And luckily, it did come back. Like, I don't remember a lot of them.
No, same. But then when I go back and watch, I'm like, God, this was so good. Like the comic book themed thing, which we just talked about being at these cons.
Just let everybody know, there's a lot of there's some big fun stuff in this episode that I'm going to play.
All right, let's dive in. Pineapple sighting.
I actually got this one. I'm very excited. I was very proud of myself.
I didn't, and I don't know how I didn't because I love this scene. What is it, Tim?
It's the salt. It's the salt shaker, the salt and pepper shaker. When you and Shamus are on your date together,
correct? It is the salt and pepper shaker at the date. I love this.
And you were the one using. You were the one who used it. It was your prop, for goodness sakes.
That's how. I have not a brain right now. Okay. I've been a little sick, so that's what you can hear in my voice a little. So I've had
right from the get-go. We have a psychic prediction.
Oh. What is the psychic prediction?
The very first line of the episode, Sean in the flashback mentions he's going to a comic book convention. And Maggie, where have we been for the last 4 months now?
Yes, I know.
We've been appearing at comic book conventions.
Yes.
If you want to.
For the last couple of weeks, we definitely, we have many, many more months coming up of these. It's so funny. That's what I thought when I started watching this episode. I'm like, this is our life right now. Okay, let's dive in. It's 1991. Sean, dressed in a superhero costume, tells Henry that he and Gus are going to a comic convention. Gus.
In this very same scene, we have a second psychic prediction. Buddy. I told you this is a big episode for all y'all.
Yeah.
The second psychic prediction, when Gus reveals that he is dressed as Tap Man. He says Tapman's arch nemesis is River Dancing Man. Thanks, McTiernan. My character in Luck of the Irish, horty, 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 hoy.
I love it.
Is his arch nemesis.
Exactly. And that's very funny. That is a psych premonition. Gus, not dressed in costume, claims he's Tapman, the tap dancing superhero. Sean doesn't buy it. Neither does Henry. Cut to normal time. Sean. As Sean and Gus chase after some bad guys, only to both trip and fall, then a masked vigilante catches the bad guys as Sean and Gus argue with each other. When Gus finally recovers, they approach the criminals to see that they have already been taken. Sean approaches the now tied up criminals and sees that the shadowy figure left a note in one of their mouths that simply says, "The Mantis."
The Mantis.
Later, the SBPD arrives and gets some answers. A report on TV tells us that a regional drug trafficking gang, the Camino Drug Syndicate, has been successfully moving thousands of kilos of products through the streets of Santa Barbara.
Now that we're at the crime scene, I'll just say it then. So Lassiter arrives at the crime scene, and I'm using my second favorite prop is in my hand. Second only to my 1911. I'm holding a cup of coffee.
That's right.
From craft service.
Yes, that's right.
And so I'm not in Pepto Pink, but I am in Ocean Eyes Sapphire Bottle Blue.
Yes. Shirt.
So that's the new equivalent to Pepto Pink drink, to Pepto Drink. Drink up, anybody who's playing that game.
Oh, okay. Ocean Eyes Blue is the new drink. I love it. I love it. Okay. Just when they think they have no solid leads on who accosted the bad guys, they all look up and see a man wearing a neoprene bodysuit run and leap off the rear of the building. From this, Sean and Gus are convinced this was the work of a real-life superhero. Cut to the cartoonized version of the theme song. Also, I forgot about this. So freaking cool. Back at the SBPD, a reporter, Reginald Parker from the Santa Barbara Sentinel, is questioning Lassiter and Vic about the vigilante superhero called the Mantis that took down the drug ring criminals.
It's the Mirror, which is a great callback to Lassiter's longstanding feud with the Mirror and them calling him Detective Dipstick back in the day.
Wait, really? Wait, yeah. I thought they said the Sentinel too. Wasn't it like a bunch of reporters? Or is there one paper? Oh, okay.
Well, it might have been, I stand corrected, it might have been multiple, but he specifically says, "I've got no time for you." I think it's Ink Monkeys or Ink Jockeys.
That's right.
Earthly Jokers from the Mirror.
Lassiter is soured by this line of questioning because this vigilante has made more progress in taking down the drug ring than the SBPD has.
Lassiter calls out the Detective Dipstick, and the one reporter says, "Well, that was written by so-and-so, whose name I can't remember, but he's now on assignment in South America," which Lassiter thinks he's being punished and he's happy for that.
It's so good. Okay, later, Juliet presents information regarding the Mantis's recent criminal takedowns. Sean is visibly jealous of the Mantis as Juliet appears to be impressed by his brave efforts. Desperate to find... Yes?
Are we now in the briefing?
The briefing, yeah.
Okay, so there is something that is just outrageous in this briefing.
What?
It took 6 minutes and 31 seconds before Juliet appears and has a line in this episode. And that is balderdash.
I think that's pretty good. I feel like it's usually in the teens. So that I feel like six minutes is actually pretty good.
So, and as you appear, you're not just appear, you appear in a brand new, very sharp peak lapel pantsuit and a very chic black blouse. And I think you've got your hair in this scene too.
Yeah, my hair's down and kind of like off to the side. I noticed that too. I like it. It fits the superhero vibes a little bit. Like
it looked very pretty.
Thank you. I don't know about you all, but it never fails. I feel like whenever I have like a big audition or a big interview, that is the day I wake up with a big zit. And instead of focusing on the work or just doing a good interview or anything else, even though makeup can cover it and all that stuff, I can't help it. It just tanks my energy. Like it tanks my whole feeling. It's negative. We all know it's easy to focus on the negative, but it's important to remember to take care of yourself. One of the best forms of self-love is taking care of your skin so you can feel good on the inside and out. And that's why we're excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe's goal is to help you feel confident in your own skin. Whether you're dealing with breakouts, signs of aging, or acne scarring, Apostrophe will help you love the skin you're in. Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get customized acne treatment for your unique skin. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. Simply fill out an online consultation about your skin goals and medical history, then snap a few selfies, and a dermatology provider will create a customized treatment plan just for you. How cool is that? Apostrophe offers access to prescription treatments for all types of acne, from hormonal acne to facial acne, and even back, chest, and butt acne. Treat breakouts from head to toe. Honestly, I love any sort of customized program like this. It's so great to actually have a dermatologist design something for you. It's great. We have a special deal for our audience. Get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/pineapple when you use our code pineapple. That is a savings of $15. This code is only available to our listeners. So to get started, you go to apostrophe.com/pineapple and click get started. Then use our code pineapple to sign up and you'll get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. When I tried Mood, I was looking for something kind of chill, something that would, I don't know, slow my overthinking. Mood is known for their federally legal THC. Now they're adding their most potent product yet to the lineup. Introducing hemp-based THCA flower, the future of legal THC. Try it along with all of Mood's other amazing offerings like flower, gummies, vapes, and more. And for a limited time, Mood is giving our listeners a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just visit hellomood.com and use our code pineapple. I ended up trying the gummies and I found them to be like super chill. What I loved about it, to be honest, was that I didn't want to be like, oh, I feel something. I kind of wanted it to be like, oh, I only feel this a little bit, but it's making a big difference. Does that make sense? And that's what I loved about it. Now introducing the THC flower, Mood's latest and most potent breakthrough in the world of legal cannabis. Since THCA converts into THC when you heat it, you get access to the classic marijuana high. And Mood has 10 high-inducing strains, the most potent they've ever offered. THC products you can trust. Mood puts an end to guessing games with federally legal forms of THC extracted from hemp plants. All of their products are regularly tested in third-party labs, sourced from small family farms, and pesticide-free. Try Mood's new THCA flower today. For a limited time only, get 20% off your first order and a free THCA pre-roll. Just go to hellomood.com and use promo code pineapple. That's hellomood.com, code pineapple, for 20% off your order and a free THCA pre-roll. Desperate to find out who the Mantis is, Sean has a vision that leads him to believe Camino's drug shipments are clocked by certain phases of the moon. Sean then psychically relays this information to Juliet and Lassiter. They are willing to entertain Sean's vision and decide to obtain a warrant to check out the docks. They arrive at the docks and are shocked to see the bad guys have already been taken out by the Mantis. Yes.
At the docks, I got to say, So we are in, it's the first of many, which haven't seen badass last yet in a long time, of Lassiter and O'Hara.
Ready to go.
And this is one of those nights where I was really thankful that we got to wear the vest, because it was really cold and frigid, and it's an extra layer because we're working next to the water.
I did remember how cold it was. That memory I do have. Okay, from this, Sean concludes that there is no way the Mantis could have known that the bad guys would have been at this location on the same night and same night and time as Sean divined, unless the Mantis was someone on the inside, someone who works at SBPD. Yeah.
Season first, pull the car over, get off the ladder, slow down the treadmill. The season first, it's our very first of the season on the inside.
Yes. I let you do it. I read it and I was like, I'm not going to do this justice. I know it on the inside. Anyway, I can't even lower my voice right now with my cold. Back at the SBPD, Sean and Gus seek out possible options for who could be the Mantis. They predict that he may be the new officer named Scott Reynolds, just transferred to the SBPD, a man who is particularly fit.
Which I got to point out, this is of course, Joey McIntyre.
Yeah.
And Not only do they bring him over, they call out, hey, new guy. Almost as if he's the new kid on the block.
Exactly. I caught that too, and I loved it. I got to work with Joey again, like a few years after Psych, on a show I did called Angel from Hell. He is such a nice human. And we had a ball. Anyway.
I was more excited that Joey from New Kids on the Block was there than I was. Because
what are you talking about? If New Kids on the Block was not the first concert I went to when I was 9 years old. It was not. It was.
It was. My freshman year of high school, I was not watching, listening to boy bands like perhaps my dear darling co-star might have been.
I was nine. I didn't do the boy band thing later, but I was very into New Kids on the Block as a 9 year old, and first concert I ever went to in Freedom Hall in Louisville, Kentucky. Yep, and I told him that, and then I told him again on Angel from Hell. Anyway, while Sean and Juliet are out to dinner,
him in a Starbucks, you'll tell him a third time.
I will, absolutely. I will tell him every time I see him. While Sean and Juliet are out to dinner, they agree to not talk about work, but Juliet checks her phone and Sean sneakily reads it. God, he's good, right? Like through the thing and the whatever.
Say, in addition to your new hair, your hair is much darker than this. I think this was really the peak darker season of Juliet's hair.
It is a little darker. It's really done in this for a date. I was like, wow, my hair is like real curly. We got the real curls in. Anyway, Sean tells her she should go and secretly arrives on the scene of the crime as well. However, the scenario backfires for Sean when they rip the mask off the supposed real Mantis and discover that it's Sean in the Mantis's mask and outfit. Sean tells the truth about what happened. The Mantis knocked Sean out, dressed in his clothes, and fled. Then Sean says the lyrics of the theme song. I love this.
Series first.
Series first and maybe only. I think it was a series and maybe first and only that we ever had the lyrics of the theme song in lines on the show, like in the dialogue.
It is absolutely my notes that it is a series first.
It was a first. Yeah. I just don't know if we did it anyway. It was so good. I know that, you know,
giggle.
Sean shares his inside job theory to the group. Lassiter tells Sean to prove it, and Sean runs up to Officer Reynolds telling him that he should reveal his true identity, that he is the Mantis. However, after Sean discovers that Reynolds has no marks on his body that would indicate he was in a fight, his theory is quickly dismissed. I'm sorry, this scene was very funny when he was saying, like, you were hitting on me earlier.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then he was like, why is your Nana a bull mastiff or whatever?
The tattoo. This is Sean or Reynolds mistaking Sean for having hit on him, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then there's another
second. Hit on me earlier.
Yeah, and cut back to Sean realizing how he was manhandling his pectoral muscles and saying, you must be really good handling yourself in a dark alley with a bunch of men and good with a hand on.
Good. Later, Juliet shows Sean a picture of one of the bad guys that Mantis knocked out. Next to him is a bag of drugs.
Sean flashbacks to the moment he saw the same guy on the ground and immediately remembers that there wasn't a bag of drugs next to the body and puts it together that the mantis was the one who planted the bag of drugs next to the criminal. From this, Sean theorizes that the mantis was creating this crime scene, but SBPD isn't quick to buy Sean's theory. The mantis sends Sean the clothes he stole off Sean's body when he took him down the other night. Just then, Juliet gets a tip from the mantis to run DNA on the perp and therefore get led to an unsolved murder from last year.
An unsolved what?
He gets led to an unsolved...
homicide.
No, it's not the same.
I've got one coming up, so I'm going to go a little lighter.
Okay. He also mentions Camino's next meeting time. They arrive at the supposed syndicate meeting location and see the mantis standing over a dead body with blood on his hands. Mantis then flees the scene. They immediately think...
Are we up in the warehouse district on the roof?
Yes. Right? Hold on. This is the meeting location.
The second... I've lost track of my notes. I think this is the second badass last yet of the episode.
Oh, I don't know that we're there yet. We're not there yet.
Okay.
Not quite. Okay. They arrive at the... Okay, so they're there, but hold, we're not to us yet. As much as Sean dislikes this mantis guy, he doesn't believe he's a murderer. Armed with this theory, Sean remembers that the mantis sent the clothes he stole from Sean back to him from the cleaners. Inside the shirt, Sean sees a tag that leads them to the dry cleaners and the mantis that the mantis used. There they get a number.
That's some clever clueing, Saladin Patterson.
It really was. I loved that because they leave those tags in there sometimes. It's good. Sean remembers that the mantis sent the clothes he stole from Sean back to him from the cleaners. Inside the shirt, Sean sees a tag that leads them to the dry cleaners that the mantis used. There they get a number that leads them to the address, the mantis's apartment downtown. At that apartment, they discover the mantis's true identity. He is Reginald Parker, the reporter who was questioning Lasseter at the SBPD earlier.
So the mantis over a body that looks like he was... Yes, murdered.
Oh, we didn't say that. Hang on. We have another one, though. Listen, the mantis explains his reasoning for vigilantism and that he was set up for...
murder.
By the syndicate. Sean and Gus believe him as his story checks out. The mantis says he's going to retire his mantis character in light of this...
murder?
Accusation. Yes.
I have a question. So, when the mantis in the apartment, the mantis says that the dead person is Carlos Jaycott.
Oh, so good!
Our dear friend, writer, and often recurring co-star actor, the amazing Carlos Jaycott, who we love and miss terribly.
Love so much, so much. Oh, he's so funny and such a good guy. Anyway, Sean convinces him that there is still time to catch the bad guys and absolve Mantis's tarnished name, but Mantis says he could never fully take down the syndicate because he had no idea how the drugs were actually getting to the syndicate. Right then, Sean flashbacks to an open cargo container containing panes of glass he saw at the docks. From this, Sean makes the determination that the syndicate has been moving their product by melting it down and mixing it in the glass.
Those are drug dealers.
I know. Also, like, this set was so cool. The whole show really looked like a Marvel movie. It was so cool. Armed with this new theory, the mantis suits back up and is able to convince Gus and Sean to suit up with him as superhero decoys. I'm sorry, I laughed thinking about it. They were so funny when the shadow appears. Yes. And it's like, it's what? Anyway, they go catch the bad guys. Okay, Sean wears a baseball catcher's outfit and Gus is dressed as his Tap Man superhero character.
Which is a fantastic throwback to The Catch. Which I can't remember which episode The Catch first appeared in, but before then they started talking about The Catch, but I was like, oh, yeah. What's The Catch?
January has come and gone, but it is not too late to start your New Year's resolution. And no, I'm not talking about getting tangled in an elliptical or eating the world's most depressing salads. Here's one that will stick. Smelling better naked. Thanks to our sponsor, Lumi, you can smell good with or without clothes all year long. Lumi is game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. No matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula, and they've got over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it. I'm one of them. I just haven't left an actual physical
technical review, but this is my review. Make the switch to Lumi, and this year will be all about head-to-toe confidence. No salads required. Special offer new customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with our exclusive code and link. Use code PINEAPPLE5 at LumiDeodorant.com. Lumi, LumiDeodorant.com. Clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. With Lumi, the average person, 0 out of 10. I love Lumi. I have been using just their regular deodorant, and I don't love fragrance deodorants, any kind. I feel like they always change with your body. And this, it just does its job, keeps you dry, and it's no weird smells. I love it. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special order for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi Starter Pack with code PINEAPPLE5 at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code PINEAPPLE5. At the warehouse, the three superheroes, the Mantis, the Catch, and the Tapman, work fast to take down the Syndicate. The Mantis is able to take down a bunch of bad guys before the SWAT team arrives and is able to take care of the rest. However, in the midst of all this, the Mantis somehow gets away undetected, leaving Sean, Gus, and the rest of the SBPD confused as to why he would flee. Later, Sean stops by the Mantis's apartment and is shocked to see the entire place has been cleared out and the Mantis is nowhere to be found. Sean figures out that the Mantis's goal wasn't to take down the Syndicate, but rather to steal the Syndicate's millions of dollars in drug money once he had taken them out. Sean realizes that he must, suit up as the Catch again and try to find Mantis in the middle, in the midst of fleeing the city. The Catch and the Mantis face off. Sean isn't doing too great against the Mantis. And the Mantis escapes. But just then, Juliet and Lassiter show up as backup after a chase. This was so cool.
There was so much badass Lassiter in this episode, which I love.
Let's go back, because this was like the coolest. This is the coolest shootout ever. So I'll just say, just then, Juliet and Lassiter show up as backup after a chase. Sean, the Catch, Spencer takes down the Mantis once and for all. But not before we get to be the coolest. This was a major shootout. This was like, we were just going rounds and rounds and rounds and rounds of squibs probably everywhere. It was crazy.
This is why we need Damsky for action.
He was so good.
And I loved how the set deck on this was so good, where when someone would get hit, they'd be just happening in front of a POW sign. Batman TV show. It was so clever.
Can I tell you, it inspired me to want to go back and watch The Watchmen. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I love that series. I saw it one time. I think I might go back and rewatch it.
Who watches The Watchmen?
Huh?
Who watches The Watchmen, Maggie?
No one. It's off now. No, I know. It's not on, but it was so good. Sorry. Like, that is such an underrated, like, that's, oh, it was so good. Okay.
No, that was the recurring theme of, or phrase of, who watches The Watchmen?
Oh, right. Of course. Right.
It was a
thing. I know a thing or two.
I know you're on old cold medicine.
I'm so foggy. Okay. Back at the SBPD, Sean hands Gus his stained shirt from earlier and it shrunk to a child size. Gus then rips Sean's shirt sleeves off in defense. It's very cute. That's a very cute ending.
In Vic's office, there is a rather important psychic line libation.
What is it?
If you've been listening to our live shows lately, in I think it was San Francisco, I introduced the new drinking game, which is the psychic line libation. In which case, it's Lassiter's most psychotic. I would rather.
Oh my God! How did I forget this?
I'd rather spend the rest of my life at Lilith Fair.
Say it in full one more time, because I cut you off, and this was the greatest. I'd rather, please. How did we get? Yes.
I'd rather spend the rest of my life at Lilith Fair.
There you go. It takes the cake. I love it. Huh?
Whatever you're drinking, whether it's pineapple juice or a scoop of ice cream, whatever you want.
Yeah.
You get to treat yourself on that psychic line libation.
All right. Fan questions. Oh my God. This is so funny. What was it like working with Joey McIntyre on Psych and then later on Angel from Hell? We explained this in the episode already because I wasn't starstruck at all. I didn't fangirl. What are you talking about? I didn't. It wasn't even a thing. No.
Maggie, what? Pull your shit together, Maggie. What is wrong with you?
It was bad. Look at me right now, even. It was so bad.
Flushing right now, or your fever is one of the two.
I am both. That's so funny. Okay. What would your superhero name be? Superhero name and power be? Costume and color. Ooh. Okay. What do you think, Tim?
I think at the time of this episode, Tim Meltrigger put out some stuff on Twitter, and someone was known as the Black Schwinn.
The what?
The Black Schwinn. I mean, I don't think it was me, but I think Tim did some stuff on Twitter around this episode, coming up with superhero names. So
Meltrigger? Oh, I love that. We should have. Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you would be?
Oh, no, I don't think I would be. No.
What would you be? What would your superpower be?
Wow, you're really making me think now.
Well, I'll say what I would love mine to be, and that would be time travel, and or psychic. But no, I'd say time travel. Mine, and is that like a superpower? It is, yeah. So yes. I would say mine would be like time travel, what would my costume be? Oh my god, it would be something like blue and weirdly like.
Pepto pink? Like,
no, I'm going to go blue. I'm going to go ocean. I'm going all the way into the ocean blue. I'm going blue like bioluminescence in the ocean. Like a sparkly blue bioluminescent like suit.
Like in one of those caves in the
Yeah.
Very much.
And then in my way of like traveling in time, because the water's been here. The water's always been here. Well, that's not true. The water hasn't always been here. but is to travel through the water. And rather than like it actually being bioluminescence, it's the time traveler. What would my name be? I don't know. Going through the waves. And that's how I travel. I go whoop, through the waves. And then I end up, wow, I need to lay wave. Down. I need to lay. Wave woman.
Was that lame? I mean, I'm
wave low. Lady. The lady wave.
Lady Wave, I like it.
Yeah, me too. All right, I love it. Okay, this is hilarious. What else do we have? Can you go into detail about the inspo of this story? I can't because I don't, other than just a world we hadn't covered, you know, I think, hey, stop. A world we hadn't covered, I feel like this was like our superhero kind of Marvel-y comic book episode.
And this is total speculation. I would think that Saladin is a closet superhero nerd and comic book nerd.
Right. Yeah, I think he is. And I love that about him.
Pure speculation, I don't know.
No, I think so. Where did the idea of Gus throwing sand from come from? That is so funny. What was that about? Do we know?
I think that is a sometimes tap dancers would throw sand down and for a little extra grit and either traction or noise.
Oh, they do. To scuff up the shoes a little bit. That's right. That's exactly right. They use it as a
multifaceted tool.
Grip. To get grip. A little grip. Yeah. That's actually very cool. That makes Tapman even cooler. I think I might have to go lay down, you all. Do we have anything else we remember from this episode that we want to share? Other than like, I just thoroughly enjoyed it. Like not as like a psych fan or a psych rewatch. I was just like, this is such a cool, fun episode of television I'm watching right now.
I had this weird memory that Julie McIntyre's character is there some character, guest star character coming up on the show that has a tattoo of your face on their back?
I don't know. Oh my God. I would love it if that were Joey McIntyre. That would be hilarious.
I keep waiting for the scene where it was like, how do we get a shirt off? This is odd. This is a strange scene. And why would I be memorizing this?
You know what? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say 100,000% yes. Joey McIntyre has a tattoo on his back of me.
So yeah. There's a deleted scene somewhere where somehow Maggie or Jules gets Joey McIntyre to take his shirt off. which for the benefit of this, I'll say it was Maggie.
Oh, I think it's a psych out. Yes. Oh my God. I think you're right, Tim. I can't think today, but yes.
Yeah. So in addition to the, his Nana being tattooed on his forearm.
Oh my God. We have to find the psych out with Joey McIntyre. Someone must find the psych out with Joey McIntyre.
Just to tell me I'm not insane.
I also have to apologize to the psychos that this episode is shorter.
Awesome.
Yes. It's shorter, sort of awesome. No, that it's a shorter, but it's because of me, because of how I feel. So I am, we made it through. I'm sweating.
I love you. Go take care of you.
Love you.
A little self-care and you take care of yourself.
I'm going to have a little me time and take care of myself in the rain. But anyway, happy President's Day, Tim and Devin and psychos. We love you and cannot wait to see you in all of these upcoming cities we have. We're so thrilled. Come here.
Who's coming to Seattle next weekend or in a few weekends?
Hopefully everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Psychologist Therein. Psychos, we love you. We cannot wait to see you in Seattle next, then Richmond, then Indianapolis, then I think it's Oklahoma City. I can't give all the cities straight, but we cannot wait. Please get your tickets. Please tell your friends, and we will see you soon. Thank you, psychos. We love you.